Welcome to It Sounded Like a Good Idea at the Time, the very perfect podcast that never makes mistakes.
Exactly.
I am Caroline.
That's what it says in the reviews.
That's what I hear.
And I'm Hannah, again, for the second time tonight.
Yeah, we are coming at you with the second episode for you to hear tonight. We actually just recorded an episode. I got home to cozy up on my couch with some ice cream and some frozen free fall. But here
frozen
I am.
Frozen free fall. Oh, your game.
It's more than a game, it's a lifestyle.
Yeah, I can tell that.
But here we are, back on the couch.
Yes, back on the couch. I made a big mistake and didn't record Caroline.
Well, and as you all know, that is the undoing of this podcast.
Yeah. I thought about trying to just keep it anyway, but it sounded like Caroline was literally at her house yelling over the information. So
do you guys hear me? I have a lot to say.
My words are important.
Funnily, is that a word?
Yeah, I don't know. I say it.
Okay, I do too. That still isn't very promising.
No.
As it were, we are talking today about authenticity.
Yeah.
And so you're hearing an inauthentic conversation because we already had one.
Yeah.
It was pretty genuine.
I know. It was. I figured a lot of things out about myself, and now it's just going to seem like I didn't just make epiphanies, so oh well.
Well, so now you can just share
new
revelations. Right.
Yeah.
This is what should happen. If you're ever unimpressed by what we say the first time around, request a second episode and we'll change everything we had to say about it.
We'll make it sound a lot better. Anyway, we'll just hit this again. What's going on with women? Should I go?
I don't remember.
World Cup is going on with women.
Okay, if you want to start there, that's fine. I had just been on my couch finishing the second episode of the second season of Pretty Little Lies.
Wow, I interrupted you again.
But it's okay. We'll keep the same flow.
Okay, same flow. World Cup. Our women played last Tuesday, first game against Thailand. They won 13-0 because they were massively unmatched. They didn't choose to play against Thailand. It was just a draw. And people were online criticizing their unsportsmanlike behavior because they scored a lot of goals, because they were celebrating their goals.
Well, to those people, do you think, did they specify, this is what I want to know, what an appropriate margin of victory would have been?
Some people, no, certainly not. Some people were saying they think that they should have not celebrated the goals.
But that's
some people were saying they should have passed around the ball. Exactly. And it's a personal accomplishment that will help them further their career.
Right.
So that's very, I mean, like, it's not like you were talking about when you were playing soccer and you were a goalie. A lot of times, like when you're playing on rec leagues, when you're playing as like kids, and I don't even know if you're not playing in very serious leagues growing up, there'll be rules. Like if you're destroying another team, you need to like have four touches on the ball before you.
Or they trade players' positions.
Yeah,
so suddenly the best player is now in
exactly.
goal or whatever.
And it's like, that's fine. And you should probably do those things for 10-year-olds,
sure.
I assume. However old you
like 16
okay
but sure thanks
but I mean this is the apex
sounds great
this is the top game this
pinnacle
is, thank you of their career this is like what they fought for it is in no way fair to ask them to come this far and then hold back just because Thailand isn't at their level it's Thailand's first time in the World Cup it's just completely, it was a completely unfair criticism.
Well, and it's a weird double standard from other sports as well. And two examples that I brought up last time, I'm not going to say that every time I say a statement.
Yeah.
This recording.
I feel like it's necessary, even though it's like, no one knows.
No one knows. You know, in an individual sport like tennis.
Yeah.
If Serena Williams, like, wipes the court with a player 6-0, 6-0. That is the score that she must achieve to win. So therefore there's like its own parameter on it. But she probably, if you follow that logic, wouldn't have to like win that well. She could let the other players win a game.
Yeah, it's like, well, you scored
but, like,
three times.
Can't works.
You just like not do more so they can feel good about themselves? And it's like,
yeah,
they didn't come here. Their coach, the US coach said, like, we didn't come here to make friends. We came here to win. And also goal differential really matters at this stage of the competition. So they can't hold back. And every goal they score means something.
Right.
Alex Morgan tied or broke a record. Everyone else like scored in a World Cup game. Like that will further their career.
Well, and, you know, as a very rabid college football fan, in the new system, the new playoff system, the BCS is gone. Playoffs are in. How you perform against weaker teams matters because it's like quality of win as much as just your schedule. So,
okay.
You know, like Alabama is a powerhouse. Nick Saban is generally considered not a super likable coach, but he regularly will hang 70 on, you know, a lower level opponent. And he's not like widely criticized for that. Every now right. and then he is, but it's never like this panned amount.
Right. Yeah, that's my question is like, are they being unfairly criticized because they're women, because mm-hmm. it's soccer and people don't know as much about it in America typically? Like, are they, if the men had scored so much, which by the way, they scored more in that game than the men have scored in 3 World Cups total.
Are they really?
Yeah. And
I didn't know that.
Yeah. So they scored, they have 13 goals. I think the United States men have scored 12 in all like the last 3 World Cup games, all of them.
Wow.
And if you make it to the very end, you play in 7 games each World Cup. I think it's 7. And so are they being unfairly held to the standard of like, well, as women, you need to be gracious. Mm-hmm. You need to be polite. You can't make other people feel bad. Because the thing is like, yeah, it would feel really bad to lose 13-0. And
but, you know, it's also an achievement that the Thai team got there. So I don't right. want to like underscore what they have done really well
right.
by getting there.
Exactly.
And then make it because to me, it focuses even more on the margin by which they lost instead yeah. of like, hey, they got there.
It is. I mean, they played them respectfully how they would play anyone else.
Has anyone seen Cool Runnings? Getting there is half of the battle.
You idiots. I mean, because like if you think back to when we were in high school and middle school and you're playing kickball at gym class, inevitably like the cool athletic guy is on the pitching square diamond
mound.
Well, in kickball, I don't know. We play in a parking lot. So
yeah, same.
sure. Mound
pitching
ideally.
Circle.
Yeah. And like you get up to like bat to kick the ball and he goes like, all right, everybody move in. And it's like, what a like D-bag move.
Oh, for sure.
Like that you don't feel more respected because people are like, oh, well, she's not as good. She can't kick the ball as far as like the football player behind her. It's like, OK, well, that makes me feel way worse.
Yeah.
Like if they had sat there just kicking the ball, like that's so blatantly rude.
Yeah, they've been playing like keep away from them.
Right.
Which they could have also
which
done.
They definitely could have.
They could have been like 62 minutes of watching these
yeah.
poor Thai players like
just be bullied
yeah
because I mean, that would be all
worse.
That is
at least respect them as opponents and
yeah,
like score
and they totally did
that's
like,
the point of the game
they did and the Thai team fought the whole time and they didn't give up like they you could tell they were frustrated but it's not like they were frustrated and like punching the ground or like upset you know what I mean
yeah.
like to me it was such a well-played game on both sides like they've made it to the world stage and good for them
okay yeah. What I want to tell those commenters is you need to calm down.
Nice.
That's a segue to what I want to talk about right now.
Yeah, let's do it.
Taylor Swift's new song titled You Need to Calm Down.
That's my new favorite song title.
It would be your new favorite song title. I still like me personally.
Sure, of course.
New video dropped today.
Yeah.
Actually, as a Swiftie fan, I actually hate saying Swiftie, but
yeah.
as a fan, I didn't even know that this song was out, so I really feel behind.
Yeah.
But I was really excited to watch the video before we recorded earlier tonight.
Yeah, I watched it a bunch of times today, actually. I was very curious because I didn't see a whole lot of the hype, but I saw like headlines like the list of people included in Taylor Swift's videos just dropped and it's insane. And it is insane.
It is insane. You watched me or listened to me watch it for the first
right.
time and like throughout the entire thing I was like Ellen
right Ryan Reynolds like the whole cast of Queer Eye is there Billy Porter is there
yeah
what's his name is tattooing Ellen Adam Lambert Adam
RuPaul's
Rippon
in
is in it RuPaul is in it
Sierra is in it
yeah it's nuts and you like see like some of them it's like you have to blink and you'll miss it
but the real earth shattering cameo is by my girl Katy Perry.
Yes.
And I was so excited
yeah.
because
I honestly was excited too. I didn't expect to have all those feelings
because
they saved
many.
It for the end. So I was yeah. like coming around to.
Had it been leaked at all that she was going to be on it?
No, I didn't.
Like,
read.
Or was that like a real surprise? Because an article that came out, I use it loosely article, a headline that came out last week was that Katy shared a picture on Instagram of cookies that Taylor had
yeah,
made her
I saw
with
that.
Like a message like this is what peace looks like
yeah.
or something like that.
Yeah.
So that came on the heels of the olive branch that Katy sent mm-hmm. Taylor last year. So it was like, obviously they're publicly mending their relationship, yeah. But now I'm like, okay, well, that was a pretty well-timed picture.
Yeah, I think they'd already
filmed all that,
like, planned, but it was really cool to see them, like, coming together in the end of it as friends. But the video in general is beautiful.
It really is. She and her crew,
yeah,
make beautiful videos.
Yeah, she's a co-director and executive producer.
That's amazing.
That's pretty cool. I really like to see people coming over on that side of the camera. I wrote down some of my favorite lines.
Oh, I can't wait to hear.
This is one, like, we'll probably, again, this is perfect because what we're talking about today is authenticity, and we'll just segue into it after the commercial break. But one of the first lines is, say it in the street, that's a knockout. Say it in a tweet, that's a cop out. Mm-hmm. And I just love, like, just speaks to the power of, like, actually speaking regular words. But then, like, you know, getting behind your keyboard and just, like, firing off comments is so unnecessary. Like, you know, just, it doesn't really mean anything. Like,
right.
And I like her invalidating people who will just basically be keyboard warriors and fire off negativity in comment sections.
I've never heard that term, keyboard warrior, but like it.
I'm surprised. I didn't make it up.
I'm surprised because I'm surprised you aren't really good at my level. That.
I'm surprised because that is you in the comment section.
I termed it for you for that reason.
No, I'm surprised because I feel like it would come up a lot in, like, mom group Facebook world. No, I don't know. And then
we're too busy being warrior moms.
Yeah, warrior mamas. And then her general message, she says, and we see you over there on the internet comparing all the girls who are killing it, but we figured you out. We all know now we all got crowns. Just talking about how there's room for everyone at the top. And I think that's great. I think it's a great message because shortly after this, and I want to talk about the content of the video as well in just a second, but shortly after that came out, the video came out, like, this morning, this afternoon, I started seeing posts saying Taylor Swift copied Beyonce's video party.
That makes me so mad.
From a while back. And I would, like, I, like, groaned before I even clicked because I'm just like, seriously?
Again, we're
like,
here.
Yeah, I mean, and this is how I feel about it. Beyonce doesn't come out and speak about things really publicly, like, at all. So until she does, we kind of just have to make our own judgments. And if she's not coming out saying Taylor Swift is stealing from me, then I see it as honoring her art and like interpreting it in Taylor Swift's own way and of course her creative team.
But again, like, I don't even know. I think that people can do some things that are similar concept that it doesn't mean it was lifted or inspired by. It's just, there aren't that many different camera angles. There aren't that many different whatever.
They're like, Beyonce had a party in a trailer park with a pool, which is cool. Like, good for Beyonce for doing that. Good for Taylor Swift for doing that. I mean, it's just, it's like, someone in the comment section at one point was like, oh, Beyonce breathed in a video, so no one else can breathe ever.
Yeah, no, that's funny. I appreciate that.
Yeah, because, and I am a huge Beyonce fan. I love her, but she's not come out and spoken out about, like, that I've seen about her beehive being, like, crazy on everyone else's Instagram and, or, you know, just, like, comment section. And, so then I think she's kind of leaving it to everyone else to make their own calls. And so I'm saying, like, in my opinion, it's not, like, lifted. Like, it's not copied. It's, like, if anything, it's an homage. Like, it would be if you, like, wrote something and I was like, oh, that really, I like that. That inspires me to write something else.
Yeah.
Or something like that. Like, I think it's art. Art is so hard because
it's so hard to create something new.
Yeah.
Like, David and I have talked about that, like, in the chef world, too. You know, like, food trends exist for a reason.
Right.
Trends exist for a reason because people are inspired by them.
Yeah.
And there are only so many different ways to do something new. I mean, how many male artists are influenced and inspired by older artists? You know, Michael Jackson, Prince.
Yeah.
You know, some old, like, Biggie and Tupac. I mean, all of those, like, they're the grandfathers of
their genres.
Styles. Yeah. For a reason. And that doesn't, I don't know.
And then they're celebrated. So I like how the song really defends itself by saying, like, there's room for everyone at the top. Like, everyone's out here trying to, like, crown a queen of pop. And then they show RuPaul, like, throwing a crown in the air. But like everyone can have crowns. We can, you know, everyone can be at the top. And I like that message. And I loved the celebration of pride. And it was just very colorful. It celebrated a lot of the famous faces in the LGBTQIA community. And it was really inclusive. So yeah,
that's great.
I thought that was really great. And of course, ended with a call to action, which we know I love calls to action.
Did she hire you to write that call to action for her?
She hired me to promo it on this show. If only.
I am mainly just sitting here smugly, nice and warm in my little blanket. Because several weeks ago, when you were basically talking about how you didn't love me, and I was busy trying to tell you about why Taylor is the queen of everything, I don't know that you were convinced. But fast forward one little single, and here you are joining the rest of us at the top.
Here I am. I'm back. I'm back, Taylor. I feel like we're on the same page.
Yeah, you're finished with your bad blood, and now here you are.
Yeah, exactly.
Were you born in 1989?
Yeah.
Were you?
Yes, I was.
Dang it.
Thanks for giving out my personal information on the show here. So I really loved it. The tune is catchy. I'm all for it. I loved every single thing about it. And I love calls to action because, you know, we can talk about a lot of things, and this is something that you mentioned before, so I don't want to take credit for it. But it's, you know, a lot of people get a lot of credit for starting conversations, but I'm trying to get your exact words right. And you were saying, like, conversations typically don't do all that much, and like action.
Everybody
is,
likes to hear themselves talk. Right. That's why we have a podcast. Yeah. But, you know, we like to hear ourselves talk. But that is, it's not an action step. It doesn't do anything.
Right, right. But actually saying, hey, here's what's happening in the Senate right now. Mm-hmm. Sign my petition. Call your senators. Do this, this, and this. You know, it's why we really liked working with our Audrey Symes about the diaper bill here in North Carolina. Because, like, these are real changes that we can all make just by picking up our phone. And so, I love it.
Well, do you know what made me learn that?
Me?
No.
Oh.
Barbie.
That was upsetting. I'm going to just...
You had
recover.
Like started to ease me in that direction, but it was really Barbie who drove that home for me.
Like, I realize I'm not like toy giant Mattel, but okay. I mean, you could have given me like one win.
Nor
today.
Are you Barbie Roberts. I would have given you a win if this weren't the second time I was sitting here.
Yeah. Fair.
Okay. Two icons are really killing it on screen.
Okay.
Barbie and Meryl Streep. First, I'm talking about Barbie. So I have pledged my love to Barbie, I don't know, a few months ago. Like her.
Yeah.
Really like her right now. We watched two episodes. We watched more than two episodes.
Yeah,
two,
sure.
Two
we
in
watched
particular.
Two episodes.
Stuck out to me this weekend. If you have Netflix, there are several Barbie movies and there are two different Barbie shows. There is Life in the Dream House, which is like a weird satire of Barbie that is...
From the clip you showed me when I came over to your house for a glass of wine, which was a party in and of itself. Sure. Just, you know, Barbie and
watching
wine.
Barbie together. As we do.
As we do.
Those of you who say you want to be our friends, that's what you have to do.
Welcome. Accepting applications. It was hilarious. Like, it was literally just like a reality show.
It is. It's exactly like a reality show that makes fun of Barbie.
Yeah, as if like the Comedy Central people had made it.
Yes,
the
exactly.
Comedy Central people. It's like Michael Scott being like, we're going to call the people from YouTube.
That's right. But there's a secondary show called Dreamhouse Adventures that is more contemporary, and my girls love it. But two of the episodes in particular this week that I actually bothered to pay attention to. One, Barbie has a vlog and she ran out of content ideas, also relatable.
Not for us. We're a well of content. Yeah,
obviously, we don't text on Sunday nights to say what are we recording about tomorrow, but she needed some new content. A friend suggested that she make a viral video to up her stats and more people would pay attention. So they spent the whole episode making these viral videos. They also... knock to Mattel made going viral seem very easy, but regardless,
I don't know, sometimes it does seem easy.
That's true.
Not to me personally, I don't do that, but
she realized at the end that she had just lost like her voice, and the reason that she started the vlog in the first place was to share like about real life, and it's not about how many stats you have or likes you have, it's about being
that's amazing
genuine. That is not what inspired the topic today, but maybe it is.
Yeah, isn't it though?
The other conversation or the other episode that we watched was all about getting involved in local politics and why running for city council is really important.
That's
and
incredible.
Having a platform that you're passionate about. Spoiler alert, Nikki does not win the election, which everyone would expect her to, even though the other candidate cheated.
What the?
They still gave her the election.
Oh, similar to some scenarios like, wow, in North Carolina.
Seems super
this
real.
Is real close to home.
Hello? Who's writing this?
Yeah.
But she stayed true to her platform and her campaign and still saw changes happen, even though she didn't win. And I just thought,
that's
what
awesome.
A good thing they were teaching young kids and girls in such a really like relatable, likable way.
And like teaching that like would... losing is not the end, I think is really critical.
Yeah. And, you know, I like was watching it and assumed that somehow she was going to win.
Right.
'Cause that's like what we've been taught to expect in these shows.
Yeah.
And she didn't. And it was so still fine.
That's awesome.
So, yeah. Yay for Barbie.
Yeah. Yay for Barbie and Meryl.
And Meryl. So Meryl Streep is on the new season of Big Little Lies.
Living her best life. She's incredible.
She is phenomenal. She doesn't have to do anything.
No. No, she makes it effortless. Like, just watching. So I've only watched episode one of season two. Obviously, spoilers for Big Little Lies.
Yeah.
Coming up here. I've only watched episode one, but like just the little, she has like all these little tics and you can tell she's a psycho.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, I don't even know how you would coach that. Like, how would you even say, make sure when you're talking, you kind of like hold your hand at a different angle. Yeah. It's like nothing
like
even
a helpful mother-in-law, but just not a psychopath that we believe both things are true.
Exactly. And you can't, I don't believe that anyone coached it. I just believe that she's that good.
Well, okay. So I really like Nicole Kidman in theory.
Right.
But she seems like she's acting.
And
Meryl is so effortless that I could see.
Yeah.
I've seen her in many ranges of movies.
Right.
In every single one.
Yeah.
It's not like I'm watching Meryl Streep.
Yeah.
I'm watching her character. And
yeah.
And so I was actually worried when I found out she was coming on the show.
Me too. Yeah.
Because I was like, is it going to feel less authentic because
Meryl Streep is on it?
Yeah. Because it's Meryl Streep and she's such a big name and they had such good chemistry, the original five. Mm-hmm. But she has been a delight to watch on the screen.
Yeah. I think that they all do such a great job on that show in that you feel how you're supposed to feel about all of them.
Oh, for sure. They like, all embody
they're not,
exactly.
Yeah. And they're not like, I don't think any character on that show you're supposed to really love.
Right.
Wholeheartedly. Like, I think you're supposed to have like conflicting feelings.
But you're also supposed to relate to them. You
yes,
know, like
exactly.
you can see
and
parts
I
of yourself in all of them.
Certainly relate to parts of like everyone in that show. So, and that's the beauty of it. Like somehow they wrote, which is why I wasn't sure that we needed a second season because like, Leanne Moriarty does a really good job with making you like she is a very character driven author.
Yeah.
And those are the kind of books that I love. Mm-hmm. And she just makes makes you relate to her characters and they really translated that to the screen extremely well.
Well, I am about 100 pages into a new to me book, Sally Hepworth, who is one of my newer Discovery favorite authors. Just started reading the book, The Mother-in-Law.
I think I've heard of that.
It is wonderful so far, 100 pages in, but it kind of reminds me of this Meryl Streep character because it's basically the story of a mother-in-law and her daughter-in-law, and it alternates chapters between past and present in each of the characters, and like it just really dives into no relationship is exactly what it seems because when you just read the daughter-in-law's perspective, you're like, oh, this is a very black and white relationship.
But right.
When you read the mother-in-law's, it just makes a lot more sense.
Yeah.
And there's some mystery surrounding it, and it's just very captivating.
Oh, that sounds good. I'll check that out for sure.
Should.
I mean, that's what I like about them including Celeste, Leanne, I guess, including Celeste, is that
Nicole Kidman's character
is that she is in an abusive relationship, which is not something I've ever experienced in my life.
Yeah.
And they really write her character to answer that question that people like me have had in the past. That's like, well, if you're in a bad situation in any kind of abuse, why wouldn't you just leave?
Right.
And they answer that so well. Like you really feel her pain and her like happiness as well.
Yeah.
And a lot of time, or like,
that
you know,
she really loves
her conflicting
him.
Feelings. And, they just put a lot of good care. Like that is a show that I thought the first season was completely perfect.
Yeah, it was really
flawless. I had zero complaints with how they did that.
So far, two episodes in, I really don't have complaints about this second season, even though I was in the camp of, we don't really need it.
Yeah.
The book, there is no book that this is based on. They did consult Leanne Moriarty. She helped write it.
Mm-hmm.
So that is true to kind of her characters, but there she was not planning on writing a second book. So
right,
I was
she's not a
like,
series. I don't think she's written any series.
No.
I know that. So I was reading a comparison between what happens in the book and what happens in the show. And I think at least episode one, maybe episode two are talking a little bit about like the ends of the book, right?
Yes.
With some differences. But, it seems to me like so far season two is more just about like characters and like what they'll do given this situation.
I did also want to point out when you were talking about domestic violence, though I have also not been in an abusive relationship. Research does show that it takes a woman 7 times to leave an abusive relationship before she leaves for good. So that is packing her bags and leaving.
Right.
Then coming back 7 times before she leaves for good.
Wow.
So it is a really intense, hard thing to leave. So if you have found yourself in an abusive relationship or you know somebody who is, you know, obviously encourage them to get help. You seek help if you are in that situation as well. There are many resources to help you.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. That's nuts. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, that good, like the best kind of TV shows and the best books and the best art are the ones that make you realize these other perspectives exist out there.
For sure.
And that's one thing I really loved about, I love about the video, Taylor Swift's video, because like, it's just all about like different perspectives and saying if you're upset about these different perspectives, like you need to calm down and understand that it's not your life and it's not your perspective.
Well, and it's just a much more easily digestible way to do it, because I think the minute you see it in a comment on Facebook, you bristle to it.
Yeah.
But watching a music video that is like poppy and fun,
right, she's
and
like floating in a pool.
And,
yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it seems like pretty harmless.
It does. And it seems also obvious in a way.
Yeah.
Like to hear her say like, you need
it's, like,
to calm
pretty campy
down.
And,
yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It's just, I don't know. I think that it's good for all of us to remind each other that
yeah.
you can state your opinion in a way that does not have to feel incendiary.
Right. Yeah. And also like you can coexist with people yeah. who don't like maybe do something you agree with. Like that's a thing that can happen.
Yeah.
Like you can just be, that's fine.
Yeah. Totally agree.
So anyway, we'll take a quick break and come back with our discussion times 2. Nope, part 2. Nope.
Part 2.
Redone.
Redux.
Sure.
The remix.
The remix. Yes.
Hey, so Hannah.
Yes.
We recorded this ad one time.
Yeah.
And I'm much more tired this time.
So should we...
Do you have any suggestions for me?
I think I have the perfect suggestion.
Okay.
We'll go downstairs, make some Lineage coffee.
Okay.
Not to really talk too much about the layout of my house.
Right. Right. Forget you heard that.
We'll go on a different part of this house.
We will traverse the floor plan.
Yeah, that's going to be the thing. That's going to be what you need to keep you awake to get through our good idea topic.
But I don't like coffee.
Well, then you're in luck, because I know that what you have in your cabinet right now is Aldi coffee.
It's not even made its way into a cabinet. It's on top of my refrigerator. Thank you very much.
Well,
stop triangulating my house.
Yeah. It's approximately this many feet inside the door.
Right. Actually, come in. You can take the Aldi coffee.
Yeah, actually,
it's
go ahead
garbage.
In Caroline's house. Get the Aldi coffee. Get out of the way. We love you, Aldi.
Yeah, leave the
we
rest of the Aldi products.
We don't want your coffee. We only want Lineage coffee. Lineage coffee is craft coffee roasted exactly as it's supposed to be roasted. There are no black beans. Do you want
Again,
to say your black
yeah,
beans?
Because if you open your coffee bag and it's full of black beans, something is wrong.
We didn't want black beans.
If it's full of garbanzo beans, something is even more wrong.
We want brown beans roasted, like that batch of coffee from that country and that farm is supposed to be roasted. We don't want it all burnt to a crisp.
We're not talking roasted like the U.S. team just did to Thailand, am I right?
We want our coffee perfect, and we want it to taste good, and we want flavor notes. We don't just want a burnt, disgusting black coffee taste
acrid.
That you have to... Yes, that is perfect.
Thanks.
For Aldi. I feel like we're really coming down on Aldi, which we love.
We do love, and we're open to a sponsorship to any and all businesses that we support. But I will say, my husband, who has accepted Aldi products in his life...
Yes.
Really liked the Aldi coffee until he took his first golden sips of
Lineage. Walked over to my back deck one fateful morning.
Yeah. And you know, I could keep coming over, knocking on your door and getting some Lineage coffee, or I could hop over to lineageroasting.com and use the promo code A Good Idea and get my own 20% off order.
Yes, you could. Your first order, 20% off, A Good Idea. Tell us when you love it and you try it, because you will. And
you will do both.
Do not put creamer in it. Try it fresh first, see what you think. And
I'm gonna be doing that, so the next time we record an ad, I can talk about it.
Yes, and hopefully we'll both be a little more awake, because it won't be the second time we're doing this.
All right, so I do a lot of work with influencers, bloggers, aspirational role models ourselves, you know. Needless to say.
Are you chalking us up under aspirational or influencers?
Yes. Sure am. And here's the thing that I'm finding. For a while, it seemed like the goal of content was to be as beautiful and flawless and perfect as it could possibly be. Now it seems like it's kind of taking this turn where there's been some kickback from that.
Right.
To say something like, this is just my highlight reel. You know, for every beautiful picture.
Highlight reel. That's like a buzzword.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't see my behind the scenes, blah, blah, blah. But here, I'm still posting the perfect picture. I'm just telling you they're not all perfect, but all you're going to see on my feed are the perfect ones.
Right.
And so it's like we're all trying to be authentic with each other.
Right.
But I don't know. There feels like there's this gap in what authenticity is, why it's important, if it's even like attainable.
Do you think it's important? Like your Instagram feed. So you've talked a lot about, so you post, I mean, we talked about this all the time. You post quite a lot. I almost never post.
Right.
I will a lot of times sit there on the couch with my kids and try and take a picture. Mm-hmm. They push me away and say no and hurt my feelings. And sometimes I'll like accidentally snag like a cute one out of that or something. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, this is really cute. And I'll go to Instagram to post it. And then I'm like, in my mind, I'm like, no, because like, what am I going to write here? Like,
right.
Like,
look, they didn't want this. So
right. They didn't want this. They didn't want to take it. And they probably don't care for me to post it. But here I am posting it. Like, I'm obviously not going to put that. So I'm going to put something like, oh, TV night. I don't. Well, because one, I don't like to be.
So why wouldn't you do that?
Yeah. One, it's selfish of you not to put that. I don't like posting a whole lot of words on Instagram. I don't like using it as a microblogging platform.
Oh, interesting. Yep.
Anytime people do that, I don't like. I scroll almost. Yeah, I almost never read through. I have to be in like such a specific mood. So like my captions are pretty short and sweet. Mm-hmm. There's been a few exceptions for something important. At this point, like I don't have really like a tone on social media. Maybe if I did, it would be like, oh, in keeping with my tone, I wouldn't post that. But at this point, it's kind of like, well, to me, it feels forced. Like if I'm putting up a picture of them smiling and laughing, if I'm putting up a picture that they didn't want me to take, then I don't feel right about posting it.
Okay.
Even if they didn't want me to take it because they're watching TV. And so either I'm going to be, quote unquote, authentic about it and say, oh, they didn't want me to post this. And then I come off like a jerk mom who's going to go viral in like 2 seconds for like posting photos of her kids that they didn't want posted.
Oh, sure.
Or it's going to be like TV night with the kids. And then I'm like, well, who's that for?
Yeah.
Like, not me, because they're not. Or I could post something else about how we've had like fits today. But like, I don't know, like I have people that I can talk to about that.
Yeah.
So like, I don't need to post that on Instagram. Mm-hmm. Like I have you, so I'd text you about it. And
well, you know, I do. Maybe that's part of the equation here is we are also used to these visual mediums that we have to let that lead versus our words. Like today I found a caption to a post I actually shared with you. Actually, as if I don't always share multiple posts with you.
Actually, I deemed this one
worth both of our whiles. But I saw one that I liked the caption. It was thought provoking.
Yeah.
But then the picture just looked like thirsty.
Yeah. Like, yeah. The picture made it seem inauthentic and not deep. And it was a deep caption.
But I couldn't figure out which one to believe.
Yes.
And so therefore, I was left with a bad taste in my mouth from the whole thing. Because I'm like, there is some kind of weird juxtaposition here that I don't agree with, and something isn't sitting right with me. But if I hadn't seen the picture, I would have given the caption more weight and more credence.
Right. Like, if it was just, like, a beautiful,
like, abstract
font.
Something.
Yeah, abstract something, like, I mean, anything, picture of a lake. I don't know, whatever. Right. Like, it would have made a lot more sense than someone.
But it felt self-promotional.
Yes.
And I think that that's my issue right now, is that it feels like we're kind of leaning back into this space of, it's okay to talk about things that are hard, it's okay to talk about things that are difficult.
Right.
But it all seems to be with a purpose of promoting your own brand or
right.
curating your own image or monetizing something or selling a product,
right.
that it cheapens what otherwise would have been authentic or genuine.
Yeah. And it's hard for me as well to criticize, like, people making money off of Instagram. Cause I'm trying to think, like, I know there have been a couple things that I know I've purchased because I saw it on Instagram. Probably more than a couple if I went back and looked at my bank account.
Yeah.
But is it, like, it's one of those things that's like, if I wasn't on Instagram, did I know, would I have needed this? Like,
right.
You know, and, you know, a lot of it too, I was like more vulnerable to that kind of thing when I was actively searching out, like, other moms and, like, what they were using when I first got pregnant, for example.
Right.
Like, you know, you want to know, like, what's good to use.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to find out. But in those cases, I'm really looking for more, like, what bloggers say they've used,
yeah.
rather than, like, an ad.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, like, tricky, but I'm like, you know what? Maybe it doesn't, like, an ad specifically doesn't work a lot for me, but it obviously works for some people. And women finding ways to make money, I mean, I think it's another example of, like, it raises us all up in the end. However, is it helpful or harmful to society as a whole? Because it's like, your perfectly curated Instagram. So I guess here's the question, and this is not even something we even touched on the last time. Is it the responsibility of someone who has a perfectly curated Instagram that might upset people, trigger some people, maybe bring on some, like, anxiety? Like, for me to see, like, all you, like, you're super fashionable, you always look put together, your children always look happy, you and your husband look like you always love each other.
Mm-hmm.
Is it that person's responsibility to not be putting that out there, or is it my responsibility to understand what might be triggering for me and stay away from it?
I think it's a bit of both. I mean, I think it's all of our responsibility these days, because mm-hmm. there are so many different outlets and messages that we consume in a day.
Right.
To put our own boundaries on it.
Yeah.
It's not on the entire world to know and do that. Like, I can't expect everyone to know my triggers. So I have to have mm-hmm. some responsibility over that. I feel like the way that this culture, I don't like saying it that way, but, you know, the state that we're in right now, the way that we express vulnerability is in negativity. And that's
right.
where it's like, what you see is so perfect. But if I'm being genuine, what I'm telling you is there's a lot of negativity, and it's hard to find the authentic of saying, like, I genuinely am
happy in my relationship. Or
yeah. And it can be fully, those two things can coexist. The mess that we all live with and the real delight and joy of our life. But it feels like unless we uncover and expose the negative, we can't possibly have the happy also. And that's where I struggle.
Yeah, I agree with that completely, because, like, here's where I have landed on it, is I think that there's too much pressure to be authentic in the first place.
Okay.
But I think that it comes from a place, and I'll revisit that. I think it comes from a place of feeling like when you do complain or when you say something bad, you always have someone who's willing to one-up your rough situation. You know, it's like, well, I saw this more when I was on Facebook, just scrolling mm-hmm. through, because it's more, I saw it more as like someone would put up a Facebook status saying, I had a really hard day with the kids. And someone would be in the comments saying, well, you have no idea. Like, just wait till they're teenagers, or like,
right.
you have no idea. Imagine if you had a third, or mm-hmm. like,
or you have no idea. Imagine not even having kids and wanting them, you know, like,
oh, somebody exactly,
always
exactly.
has.
Right. Everyone has a struggle. And like, I'm wondering if this whole, like, well, I'm just trying to be real kind of grew out of this, like, almost like a defense of sharing your own struggles.
Yeah.
Because I definitely think there's room for everyone to have all of their own individual struggles, no matter what it is. Like, my struggles with children are very different from, like, my friend's struggles who don't have children, but neither of ours are more or less important than the others.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's all very relative. And, So I think it could be a little bit in defense of like, well, I just want to be real.
Yeah.
In that way, because I think maybe when Instagram when it was first launched, I think it was probably, I don't know, it's just been interesting to see the evolution of it now. Like,
yeah, no, I think that that's true, that everything kind of has the second layer to it. And right. I like that idea of, even though it's kind of sad, that there's too much pressure in being authentic, because even then it loses its authenticity when you're having to like think about it.
Yeah.
Because being authentic should mean just as you are without.
Right. And like reporting thought to your followers, whether you have like 200 or 2,000 or 2 million, here's where I have also ultimately landed. I don't think authenticity on social media is necessary.
Okay.
I don't think
what do you think is necessary on social media?
I think whatever you want to put out there is necessary, is okay. I think if you want to put out there a certain persona, mm-hmm. like if I want to put out there, if you and I decide that we want our podcast to be a certain way, we want to put out certain things, it doesn't mean that because we're not sharing like fights that we have with David and Passan, we're being not authentic.
Okay.
And it doesn't mean that because we don't share like other things that are exciting, we're not being not authentic. No, it's like we choose great. To put one thing out there, and we're allowed to do that. So I guess in that way, it's like,
yeah, no, that answers kind of a question that I've had about this whole idea, is being selective about what you share is not inauthenticity.
Inauthenticity. Yeah.
Ooh, that was hard to say.
Hard one.
Especially late at night. But, yeah. I think where I have a hard time is like, I don't really care. I have fewer filters about what people know about my life who I don't know as well. So
it seems less personal.
Yeah. I keep a lot more from people that I know really well. You know, I do have relationships that are maybe not my super close friends, but are like one level, you know, where we're building depth in our relationship,
right,
that I just prefer not to share, or we're just not there. And I kind of control who knows what levels of myself. But then there's this like outside layer of like strangers that I'm like, sure, on my Instagram or my blog or my podcast, you can know anything about me. And where it gets really awkward is if somebody that I don't know well is like, oh, I never knew X, Y, or Z, I ran into your dad and now I know everything about him, you know, like,
right.
I'm like, oh wait, that wasn't like my goal, because I wouldn't have shared that like on its own.
Right.
But that doesn't necessarily mean that I'm not being genuine in those friendships if I don't share those things.
Exactly.
It's like different mediums for different things.
Yeah. And I think where it comes, where like that's really important to me to understand, is because it's new for me as an adult, not new for my whole life, but in my lifespan in general, like the concept that I could not understand someone else's perspective, and that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I can just live my life and they can live their life, is very important and new. Like, it's not something like that I would have thought. That's why I like You Need to Calm Down, Taylor Swift's music video, even more, because like she features several drag queens, and like, I don't know any drag queens that I know of, or like, and when I'm sure like when I was growing up, I would have been like, I probably would have been like just a lot more judgmental for no reason other than preconceived notions. 100%. So, but it's like, there's literally no need for that. Like that's how they choose. And so that's my point with saying like, however you choose to put yourself out there, when you say, well, I'm just being authentic, or I'm just being real, I feel like you invite people to judge your authenticity.
Well, and I think the way that we present it these days is almost more of a defense mechanism as anything,
right,
by being like, I'm just keeping this real.
Right.
It's almost
which
like
we don't need
don't
to
come
do.
At me. Like,
right.
The more you disclaimer it, kind of like the less sincere it is, because you already are coming at it with some kind of preconceived notion of how it's going to be received. When I think if you're just being sincere, you're just like,
right. Because there's really no need for you to stand up for anything. If you want to put it out there, put it out there.
Yeah.
And, I think that when we focus too much on authenticity, we just open ourselves up to people being able to decide what's authentic and what's not authentic. And I just don't think we need to even like have that conversation.
Do you think that the tensions with social media and authenticity, good or bad, have bled over into real life relationships for our generation?
That's a heavy question for 11 o'clock at night.
For our second recording.
Yeah.
I did not ask, ask this the first time.
I'm trying to break it down. I don't know, because it's, I don't know. What do you think? You answer first and then I'll decide.
Yes and no. So I'm going to answer at both sides of the equation.
Okay.
Because where it's good is because we're seeing more of each other. Mm-hmm. There is kind of more of a level playing field when you do see somebody and get to know them that yeah. maybe you've been following on Instagram or whatever. It's right. like, hey, I know that you did X, Y, or Z, and you can already have things that you relate to
right.
or know about somebody before. That's fine. That's in its like best case scenario. It also makes things much more awkward because you already come in with a preconceived notion of someone. And so if you're seeing them through this kind of filtered lens, mm-hmm. like for me, I would be super intimidated or judgmental of somebody that it's easy to judge somebody on Instagram, right?
So like, totally.
There's somebody that I follow who has this like very seemingly perfect life, but also complains quite a bit. Mm-hmm. So I immediately judge that of like, you have nothing in your life to complain about because mm-hmm. of these things that you show me make me believe that there's nothing that you would be complaining about. So if I saw that person in real life, I would feel fake knowing that I have shared these posts or whatever with somebody being like, ugh, can you believe blah, blah, blah. When it's right. probably like a really nice person and I would present really nicely to them because that's just how I tend right. to be. But then that's setting me up for like a weird...
Oh, it's a weird vibe, yeah.
Yeah, for sure, because I know what I would say about them not right, in person.
Right.
So it's like we've learned how to interact with personas virtually, but not how well we can reconcile with them as people mm-hmm. off of the screen.
Yeah.
Does that kind of make sense?
Yes. Or yeah. Like the personas versus people, I think, is very key. Because it's true that, like, there are just so many you just get such a different view of people that I think it's hard. I don't think you can really be authentic via Instagram. I know you can make curated. Friends.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean, and you can like make friends over social media. Yeah,
my
for
friend
sure.
Amy and I made friends via Snapchat.
Right. Yeah.
She says it wasn't.
She
but
says
it, was.
It wasn't. I was going to say, I have to step in for Amy here because she isn't currently recording. She said it wasn't Snapchat. I don't know what it was, but Amy DM'd me. Yeah. I think you can start things there, but where they expand is when you like
take it offline,
text, you know, like phone call and all that. I mean, you've talked about that till you met April.
Yeah.
And like, for instance, I've never been in the same room as April, but like, I feel like I know her really well.
Guess what? Your life's about to change.
I know. Spoilers. April's coming back. Next week. I'm so excited. And we all are. And everyone has been wanting April
everyone
to come back.
Everyone in the entire world is excited.
Literally every one of the 7.5 billion people.
I'm like, at least once a week, I get a DM. Yeah. It's like, is April coming back? And
yeah.
I'm like, yes, she is. Because we need her to come on our podcast a lot instead of tempting her to start her own
yeah.
podcast.
Yeah, for sure. There is room at the top for everyone, but we can't.
I would say like the second level. We're yeah. at the top. Then there's plenty of room beneath us.
We talk a lot of game, more so than we can follow up with. I think that's the bottom line. But
Speaking of authenticity,
I'm being legit authentic in this moment. I can't.
I'll talk about it, but I do not believe it when yeah. someone's better than we are.
Exactly. It's complicated, but I just think I don't think it's something we need to worry about. I think at this point where Instagram and social media are now, I think, you know, Twitter's like kind of a whole different ballgame. So I'm mostly referring to Instagram.
Yeah. That's like the wild, wild west.
Yeah, exactly. I think that now it's become a place to like market yourself.
Yeah.
I mean,
monetize your life,
which again, like I'm all
monetize
for
your children.
Yeah. Yeah. Which I have a lot of mixed feelings about. I'm all for women getting money how they can. But
well, with
regard to legal
DM
methods.
If you'd like my list.
Yeah.
I'm at Caroline Airy.
Yeah.
You don't even have to worry about the pod.
bypass the pod. I think that I still keep my Instagram super private, and because like for me, it's not the place I connect with people most.
Yeah.
like, and I think that's like, I don't see it as a place to connect. I mean, I keep up with like people I know on Instagram and like, but other than that, it's not like where real connections are nurtured. So
yeah,
it's hard to mix the two, maybe for me and people like me specifically, because it's like, I find when it's hard for me to like scroll through and be like, oh, my family, oh, my friends, oh, this person who's like perfect. And now I feel so like, I understand that, like you said, like it's my responsibility to know, like, that's like a trigger for me. It's going to make me feel badly about myself to see this person who's like seemingly a perfect parent talking about parenting.
So you would do better following a lot of plant and weather and accounts.
I do.
Okay, cool. So it's not that place of community
DM
for you.
DM me for my list.
A fan list of meteorologists.
Actually, DM Caroline. As we know, I'm private.
She will not approve you. She doesn't know you.
DM a good idea pod.
One of us will get back to you.
Oh, yeah. So, I don't know. Final thoughts?
No.
No. No to all of
no
it.
Thoughts. No, I mean, I would say keep challenging yourself with what feels natural and right to you. To me, like, my general rule is, like, if it feels like it's taking too much thought,
yes,
let it go. You know, like, that's I'll have good pictures of the girls that I want to post, and I like to be, like, kind of clever in my captions mm-hmm. with them. And if it's taking too much time to think of one, I'm like, this right. is not the one to post, like, just like, if I'm going to force it for the sake of right. like fitting in with my own, like, brand is too strong of a word, but with like other things mm-hmm. that I post, I like it to come naturally. I like it to feel
right.
Thoughtless, effortless. And if it's taking too much work, it's not being true to me, and like, just let it go.
Right. That's great. I think that's good. Let it go and be, I don't know. I just think true authenticity happens in real life, and real life doesn't
in actual relationship,
right? In actual relationship. But that, and when I say real life, that doesn't mean like in person, like, you know, you and Amy are great friends from across the country. And like, that's I have right. friends that are all over the place as well. It doesn't mean you have to be in the same room, but like connecting with, like really connecting with someone, not liking and commenting on photos, and not like,
again, it's a good place to start.
Yeah, it's a good place to start. But know your boundaries. For me, I feel like I have a lot more boundaries for my own mental health.
Yeah, that's a good point. I was just about to say, if it's consuming that much of your energy too, yeah. it's not feeding your soul, then
right.
dump it.
Yeah.
It's a hard line. All right, well, we'll be right back with a little good idea at the time segment. All right, well, summer in our neighborhood can only mean one thing for my house. It's fly season.
Yeah, it's nuts. We live in the wild, wild west. Like.
Well, that sounded like the beginning of an ad. There is no ad, except I should write an ad for these fly traps that we have.
Yeah.
We have one outside of our garage near our trash can that probably has 8,500 flies in it.
Yeah, they work disgustingly well.
It is gross, but I also cannot stop checking it. It is nasty, and it also smells bad. So
it's just science, really. Yeah, bunch of decaying fly corpses.
I did walk by it the other day, and I was like, why does it stink? It's just flies. And I'm like, well, it is like 6 pounds of flies.
Yeah,
so.
It's like a full-size dog's worth of them.
Anyway, we can't decide at this point if we had that many hordes right. that it's collecting, or if it has attracted all of them in a, I don't know, 5 mile radius.
Yeah. I say take it down and see what happens in your house.
Well,
do you fill up with flies or don't you?
Well, it's pretty full now. I don't think that any new flies are getting into it. And I did notice an increase of flies in our house.
Interesting.
So that's too bad. But
that experiment really went south quick.
But I was parked in our driveway one day, and our van has sliding doors because we're fancy and rich. And a fly had gotten...
This is the good life, people.
A fly had gotten into it. Landed on Anna Blair. She had a small panic attack.
Yes.
And in a bid to make her feel better, Norabeth and I were trying to tell her that flies are harmless. And Norabeth decided to name it. Oh, that's just Queen Fly. She's our friend, which I was like totally there for. But now...
Didn't think that one through.
No.
In the long term.
Now, both Allison and myself have smashed a fly, which has then led to many tears that we have smashed Queen Fly. And as you witnessed yourself last week, I am a ninja at killing flies.
Right. It's as if we put the camera on slow motion record.
It's like watching a 3-year-old try to play like Mario Brothers.
Yeah.
And like jump to hit the brick.
Yes.
Doesn't work. But... we keep smashing Queen Fly, and it's just too bad. Like, it sounded like a good idea, one, to catch all these flies.
Yeah.
And two, to help my children befriend pest pets.
Imagination. That's what's never a good idea.
Never.
It sounded like a good idea to me to be close with my mother.
Okay.
My mother and I are very close, and she lives 2 hours away, and I've been telling her, you need to move here, like move to Charlotte. You're just be here already.
Yeah.
You'll be around me all the time. It'll be fine.
Help my life.
Yeah. I literally need you all the time. And this weekend she very blatantly told me, you know, I love that we're this close, in response to me saying, really please insane. Move closer.
I love that I am this far.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what that.
Yeah. So don't befriend your mothers. They will burn you.
Sickly. Yeah, that's,
it is harsh, and it's hard to recover from it.
Yeah, but just wait till you get to dole out that kind of like burn to my
as if
lawn.
As if I will ever not be in the same city as them.
Well, like, Maya would enjoy burn you back hard.
Oh yeah, that's obvious. Moral of the story is, don't let your mom get too close. She'll break your heart.
Don't love your mother.
Well, just kidding, mom, please don't move here.
We have room in our house, Nan. What always sounds like a good idea is having April back on the podcast.
Yes.
We're recording with her later this week for an episode that will be out next week.
Hopefully just one take on that one.
Yeah, it'll be great. We can't wait. And we'll be right back here next week.
Yep. Please rate, review, subscribe, share with your friends.
Be authentic.
Only unless, if it's positive.
Right.
Let's do it. We are not kidding. We're not kidding around. No negativity.
Yeah,
I'm sensitive. I can't.